Willkommen zu Zero Fox Podcast, Episode 999!
Oh, wow. That sounds pretty pretty World War II-y.
What the hell was that? Did somebody let someone of the Third Reich in or something? Who the hell was that?
Mikhail.
Oh, sweet Christ. There's our anti-Semitism right there off the bat.
Hey. It's a new and gentler Germany. I'm sure there's a reason for the cray-cray. We'll get there eventually. Welcome to this week's podcast. Thank you for your patience. Last week, we're upgrading to a new, more spacious studio. It's very exciting. It's because we've been getting these baller sponsorships.
Right?
With us ever tonight is
Jersey Girl,
Link,
and AG. And let's get right to it. Let's introduce this week's sponsor. It's really exciting. We're going big into big cereal again. We've got Kellogg's. Whoop, 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 whoop.
They just had to get in on that sweet, sweet sponsorship that General Mills was just milking.
So sugary sweet. Why don't you
with cereal.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about our sponsor this week, Link?
Yes, our sponsor is responsible for Frosted Flakes and the Hispanic version. Thanks to our good friends at Truth String Media, we found out that the Hispanic version, Zucaritas, has an extra ingredient in it. It's BHT, which is said to prolong shelf life, but it can cause hormone disruption and harm to the reproductive system.
Oh, so it's kind of like what we found out about our oats a few weeks ago with our good friends at General Mills and Quaker Oats. So.
But it's weird that only the Hispanic version has it.
I am this many years old today, and I had no idea that we had Hispanic versions of cereal that were different than, like, English? Because they're both American, right? They're both available here in the States.
Yes.
Okay, but we've got one that's supposedly the same Frosted Flakes, mm-hmm. just with Zucaritas.
Yeah, it's just marketed for
which
the
is what,
Hispanic.
Like, little sugars? Yeah. Like, that sounds healthy. Anyway, so I'm sorry, you should not be giving your kids something. This is Zucaritas, you know? Like, Frosted Flakes is bad enough, but this doesn't even, this leaves the flakes out of it. It's just like, sugars! Little sugars!
Now,
eat the little sugar!
Now, hold on. BHT, does that stand for Big Hella Trip or something?
I think it's like Boy Hormone Therapy.
Now, this is a whole new level, because back in the day when I was a kid, Frosted Flakes, the American version.
Now, they're both American, just this is the multicultural, yes. multicultural version. Yes. The multicultural American
globalism.
Version. This one was the nationalist version.
It was the far right version.
It was the far right. The far right. Those Frosted Flakes were really frosted. They were so frosted they were fucking white.
Let's put it this way. They were so frosted, there was an entire shipment of Frosted Flakes that was recalled because they were so frosted with angel dust.
Oh, serious? I don't remember that.
That happened to me.
That happened to you. Hi, I'm Frosted Flakes. Okay, why is the wallpaper dancing?
Let me rephrase that. My mom threw out an entirely full thing of Frosted Flakes because of the recall. And I asked her what the hell, man.
She could have sold it. She could have paid for your fucking college with that.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to know why the hell I couldn't eat my damn cereal. And she just chucks it away saying, well, hate to tell you, kiddo, but your shit is basically tampered with. And I'm not taking the chance.
How could dust from angels be bad for you?
Right? So tell us more about this BHT.
According to the Environmental Working Group website, BHT is classified as possibly a carcinogenic by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, and it may disrupt endocrine function by causing thyroid changes and affecting animal development. Studies found that rats developed liver and lung tumors.
Okay, I know you said rats, but like I heard brats. Like, studies found the brats who deserved this shit developed liver and lung tumors.
I'm pretty sure the brats are developing it too.
Zucaritas!
So they tried to kill us with angel dust, and now they just doubled down and
Zucaritas.
Yeah. Cool.
So great. Yeah, like, so I love how they're like, well, we found that in animals, it could cause cancer, and it disrupts thyroid function in animals. You know, people, I'm sure, are fine. Little children who are basically the same fucking size as animals and need their thyroid to function because, like, you know, you get a 2-year-old rat, it's already sexually mature, but, you know, like, a 2-year-old child is not, and it needs that thyroid function to get all their mm-hmm. characteristics that make their voices deep in or make their voices soft and pretty, you know, whatever, but whatevs. Wow, okay, so I can see why Kellogg's would need our help, giving them some sweet, sweet internet clout after...
Sweeter than Frosted Flakes and Zucaritas!
Sweeter than that angel dust, even.
But this is just like one of those things, it's like, ah, there's so much systemic racism in America, and you're like, what, really? And then shit like this happens, you're like, fuck. You know, like what the hell, literally, is mm-hmm. going on? Why would you be targeting Hispanic children like this?
I know. Didn't we bring this up last episode? Wasn't there something with the gendered language? And
oh, yeah. That's right. The Hispanic community hates the fucking gendered language. Like, or the non-gendered language. The Latinx crap and the, you know, like, being told they have to use AS for people instead of, like...
Latin languages, they differentiate masculine and feminine way more than English.
Right. Like, down to, like, words. Like, yes. Just a general thing,
yeah,
like the cat.
There's a word for a woman, a word for a man.
Like, it's literally le versus la. There's the man the, and then there's the female the. They, like, the has a gender.
Right, and like every noun in Latin-based languages are gendered. Even German, mm-hmm. you're like that.
Even A, the word A, like in French, is they is like un versus un, and the spelling is different.
Right.
And
yeah, in Portuguese and Spanish too.
Yeah.
So if they turn a generation of Latino children into babies, then, you know, the parents will be forced to degenderize the language and will colonize the Latinos through language. Woo!
En Zucaritas.
One Zucaritas at a time. All right. Well, thank you, Kellogg's, for sponsoring the show. We really appreciate, and we hope you work out that BHT issue by showing that under the
microphone. Maybe you should just stick with the angel dust, guys.
All right. Sounds like it's time for some ambulance chasers.
I'm not even trying.
The ambulance got tired.
The ambulance puttered out. Like, it couldn't get up over the bridge. It just like, it started backsliding.
It ran out of its sucuritas.
It just threw it into neutral and slid back down the hill. Okay, bring on the bacon. Microplastics, not cholesterol, are to blame for artery blockages. This is such a big story that actually a lot of people... I heard about it on Brave TV. Which they cover a lot of health stuff there. And then it was also on InfoWars. And then when I went to look up sources online, it was like, oh, and NBC News and Healthline. And everybody's going with it because it's pretty alarming and interesting. Scientists found tiny nanoplastics in people's arteries. Their presence was tied to higher risk of heart disease. Ooh, who knew that having plastic in your bloodstream might not be good?
What a shocker.
Mm-hmm. So what they're finding, so this was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, very reputable publication.
Of course.
And this really is the first time, we're going to talk about that later, but this really is the first time that they've linked the presence of nanoplastics to arterial clogs and cardiovascular disease. And we've known for a while now that nanoplastics are in our bloodstreams, are in our bodies. They're in fucking everything. And that's probably because every damn thing we eat and drink is at some point in time encapsulated in plastic. And even the fucking water we drink comes through damn PVC piping now because, oh, we can't have copper, something that's got minerals in it that would be helpful to the human body. No, let's put it through plastic. Run it through plastic tubes. Do everything plastic. And now we are walking, talking Barbie. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Heart is plastic. It's fantastic. I'll die at 53 and you can melt me.
All right, that's enough.
fair enough. Okay, so to study the effects, they turn to a group of patients already scheduled to undergo surgery for carotid artery stenosis, and which plaque or fatty deposits block normal blood flow. And when they removed these from 257 patients, they found plastic particles, mostly nanoplastics, in the plaque of 150 patients. So that was well over half. And these people would have, and these were all people who were non-symptomatic. Like, they went to the doctor, they were doing routine health checkup, and their doctor's like, oh, shit, you got, like, a big floaty in your veins. You're going to die soon if we don't go in and remove this. They removed it, and so they decided to just test this batch of 257 removed deposits, mm-hmm. and they found significant levels of plastics in 150 of them. So, yeah. So, eat your bacon. Feel no shame. Get that good, tasty animal fat while you still can before the WEF outlaws it. Because it ain't that. It's the fucking plastics that they're packaging in it, bitches. Go to your grocer and, like, ask him directly and wax paper.
Now, hold on. Isn't, like, cooking it supposed to, like, get all that stuff out, or does it make it worse?
Have you ever cooked plastic before?
I hope not.
You've never experimented with plastic and fire or plastic and heat?
Fire. No. Yeah,
fire.
I kind of want my kitchen to not burn down, so.
Well, it's not highly flammable. In fact, a lot of plastics are kind of flame retardant. Like, you wouldn't take a plastic bottle and use it as a fire starter. You know, like if you were out camping and stuff, you wouldn't take plastic shit and try to start your fire with it because plastic melts.
Yeah.
And it gets sticky and gunky and gross and it doesn't, like, in order to incinerate plastic, you need to do it at a really high heat. But even then, probably doesn't get rid of it. That's probably creating the nanoplastics. So you got microplastics, which, you know, are teeny tiny, and then nanoplastics, which seem to be the bigger problem, which are probably being sprayed in the chemtrails, let's be real.
So in other words, key takeaway, cooking makes it worse. We're fucked either way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Very much.
Yeah. Awesome. So there's no reason to refrain from fat. Just enjoy your fat and just, you know, drink out of metal bottles instead of plastic ones. And buy your...
Yeah, prefer the glass ones. Those are the better ones. It tastes better, too.
Yeah.
On glass.
I miss buying milk in glass bottles. There was a local dairy where I grew up. I grew up in dairy country. And they did a whole thing, and it was, you know, the early 90s, where you would go into their stores. They had a couple stores in town, and they would recycle glass. So you'd pay a little more the first time you bought them for the deposit, and then you'd bring back your bottles, and then you'd get, like, I don't know, 50 cents a gallon off per gallon, like, to bring back your bottles.
You know what kills me? Kind of circling back on our beloved sponsor. Segregating in the different
cereal
items.
Used to come in tin foil packages and wax paper packages. Like, now it's plastic, but I remember when it was wax paper.
But what I was going to say is Coke is a great example of how they market to American versus... Or not so much market, but manufactured. You have your Coke that's in the glass bottles, yes, but there's two different formulas. You have your American Coke, and then you have your Mexico. The Mexico actually uses the real sugar, no less. And it's like, the fuck, it's an American product. Why the hell are you...
Well, those are specifically Encho and Mexico. They're made in Mexico. And it's probably because Mexico probably has stricter prohibitions on corn syrup, which is really fucking toxic.
No, yeah, Mexico does have prohibition on corn syrup.
America, we're like, yeah, sure, fucking drink that shit. It's good for you. Like, no, it's not good for you.
It's good for our medicine. And
it's good for the depopulation.
Pharma. It's good for pharma.
It's
to make money.
Really effective when you mix it with plastic.
Yeah, exactly. We take the syrupiest corn syrup and we put it in your Coke, and then we pour that Coke into plastic bottles for you to consume, so you can get microplastics and fucking corn syrup all in one fell swoop.
That's how you create customers for every single industry you own.
Yeah. So then they're like kind of, they were kind of thinking about this a little bit more, and they said, you know, we know that cardiovascular disease, particularly myocardial infarction, is usually triggered by an inflammatory response. And so then they were like noticing how much fucking plastics in our bodies are. They're like, still, is the inflammation due to the nanoplastics or something else? So they're like, you know, we know that cholesterol and fats in the blood, blood lipids are getting caught on and creating these little plastic fat nests in our arteries, and then we're getting inflammation. So maybe the nanoplastics are even to blame for the inflammation, which, you know, gee, Pfizer to the rescue.
There's a vaccine for that!
Gilead to the rescue, J&J to the rescue. Oh yeah, we're going to have vaccinate against heart disease, because that's something you can do. Yeah. Like, whatever. So anyways, yeah, interesting. So obviously, you know, mainstream media is totally cool reporting on this. And it's probably because this seems to go in along with, you know, our environmental. And yet, our food suppliers aren't going like, ooh, we better solve this. Like, they're like, well, what kind of medicines can we use to combat plastics that we'll sell to you in fucking plastic bottles and plastic jars? And I'm going, fuck you!
But am I wrong, or are the little capsules they put them in also plastic?
They're usually gelatin.
No, some of them are plastic.
Some of them might be plastic. Yeah.
It's a special kind of plastic.
Yeah, it's like petroleum-based pharmacology.
Ugh. Wonderful. All right.
Rockefellers, we love you.
Anyway. Not.
So that was this week's Ambulance Chasers.
Looks like it got some plastic in the engine there.
Those are macroplastics in that engine. Okay, here we come back to a segment we haven't done in a while, but that's about our good friends Japan in the news, specifically speaking. But we're going to start this one on a more somber tone. Do you guys want to explain why?
We lost one of the greats on March 1st. Akira Toriyama passed away due to a blood clot in his brain, and we didn't find out until a week later, so at the time of this recording, it's already been another week, so it's been about 2 weeks now, give or take. So we just want to take a moment, tip our hats, thank you for everything you've done. I mean, your impact was incredible, and so much so that even the friggin' drug cartels stopped what they were doing out of respect for you. So, rest in peace.
Akira Toriyama was the creator, for those who don't know, creator of Dragon Ball, and he did a lot of work in other series as well. He was the character designer for the video game series Dragon Quest, among many other things. And he had a worldwide impact, especially with Dragon Ball, his most famous creation.
Here's to you, Akira Toriyama. Sucks that we lost you, although we will miss you greatly. Perhaps it's better you're not here for this mass human experiment Toyota's about to unleash. Which leads us into...
Yes, our friends at the Metro reported on Toyota built Shangri-La at the foot of active volcano to test self-driving EV golf carts. Dude, just bring them to Margaritaville. yeah, they're building...
Or bring them to Epcot, you bastards!
They're building a 10 billion,
$10 billion.
I'm like, is that billion or trillion?
I don't know.
$10 billion. $10 billion futuristic city built for mass human experiment. So, yeah, they've got these concept pictures, and they're building at the foot of a fucking active volcano because, yeah, let's put a $10 billion mass human experiment at the foot of a volcano because, you know, Pompeii. Because, yeah, Italy can't be the only place that has people frozen in time.
Hey, I mean...
Maybe that's the experiment.
Maybe.
Japan and Italy are such good friends that Japan wants to know what it was all about. They want to experience the experience of Italy's experience.
So it's like, oh, we're doing this whole thing, like, to test these... Oh, gosh, I don't know. To test these self-driving EVs. They're calling them self-driving EVs. Dude, they're fucking golf carts. They're fucking open-air, damn ugly, ugly golf carts. And it's like, no, we have those in Florida.
It's a personal monorail cart, looks like.
But, yeah. So, but the whole point is it's self-driving. And it's like, yeah, no, Florida would be where you should fucking test that because we've got a bunch of old people who shouldn't be driving anyways. Mm. And we've got all the planned communities you could ever want. And none of them are at the foot of a goddamn active volcano, you morons. Like, I don't care how good your engineering is if you're putting people at the foot of an active volcano.
To be fair, Florida is in the path of numerous hurricanes and floods. So,
true.
I mean, death by water or death by fire.
Florida already has so many people driving around in golf carts, so...
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, well, pick your poison. Water or fire? Which way would you rather die?
And I'm sorry. This is not a true test. Like, oh, we're going to build this beautiful plant community, and then we're going to test these self-driving golf carts and see if they can respond to pedestrians and shit like that. It's like, no, you want to see if that shit works? You bring it to Florida, where mofos, like, drive like maniacs, because you've either got, like, the really old people going... But, you know, like 25 and a 70. And then you get the people who get stuck behind them for like 3 miles and they finally get a chance to pass them and they drive like they're, you know, Andretti and just
NASCAR.
Yeah. And then they're like tearing it up. So it's like you've got the just two extremes. Everybody's fucking crazy and everybody's angry at each other all the time because the old people are mad at the young people going fast and the like just normal drivers are like, please just keep me out of it.
You know? I think they're doing that on the foot of the volcano. Because if it doesn't work out, they can just throw the golf carts over.
Well, I was thinking, too, they probably have, like, a self-destruct thing anyway that all they have to do is manually trigger the volcano. And if the experiment fails, they can just eradicate the experiment.
So I wasn't completely wrong about this. Like, news of the project's imminent completion comes not long after photos were shared of the progress being made on the line in Saudi Arabia. So it's like Japan going like, oh, yeah. We see your planned community, Saudi Arabia, and we raise you our own fucking planned community. Like, we're doing it first, we're doing it better, we're doing it smaller, we're doing it more artistically.
It's at the foot of Mount Fuji, for fuck's sake. I mean, you can't get any more artistic and so in tune with nature than being at the foot of Mount fucking Fiji.
Mm-hmm.
And to double down on the artistic nature and just really embrace the culture that is Japan. They're absolutely going all in and sticking with traditional wood as the foundation and structure of these buildings.
Yes, because what else you're going to build something on the foot of a volcano that's about to erupt, right?
Well, So there's another data point to this lovely experimental city. So it's totally sustainable. It's going to be like totally renewable energy. They're going with hydrogen, which is a good energy source. Also a deeply flammable energy. Like they wanted to do hydrogen fueled cars before they did EVs. Like there was a lot of research. They couldn't quite figure out a way to make the hydrogen fuel cells in the early days, but I think they've advanced, but back in the 90s. Like, it was the risk of hydrogen exploding on impact, like if two cars collided, was just, like, so huge and the fire would be so massive that they're like, oh, let's put a pin in that for right now.
Maybe that's the experiment. They want to see if it's going to explode in the heat of the volcano.
You just pointed out something that triggered a thought.
Oh, no, I triggered you. I'm sorry.
No, not- No!
Hey guys, I'm so sorry!
No!
Jersey go. Oh, wait, I just used the pejorative, guys! Bro. You folks! I'm so sorry! I just shared Jersey!
I ain't no fucking snowflake. No. I'm talking about
hydrogen.
A memory.
Mm.
Hydrogen. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the two bombs that hit Japan hydrogen bombs?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've seen this before.
Poor America. You think you can blow us up? We can blow us up better than you can blow us up. We come in hydrogen Toyota, hydrogen vehicle.
And America's just sitting here like, didn't we already apologize for this?
I'm so not sure what to say right now. It's so weird. So weird. I don't like the faces on these cars either. Like, they look like really blank stares. You know, cars have faces. They do. Yeah. Because they've got the headlights and stuff. And these have like weird little glowy, I don't know how potent these headlights are. They look like little eyeballs and they just are staring at you like a brain dead beauty contestant on a motor car.
Oh my god!
Oh dear. So that is Pacifically Speaking. Thanks, Japan. It was nice to revisit. Which brings us to Party Like It's 1944. AG annihilates the news.
We're going back in time?
Get into the DeLorean.
So Jersey Girl brought this to my attention, because she loves to look for articles that will just, like, infuriate me.
Gotta have some entertainment value.
And she's like, in Germany, the far right is on the rise again. How did that happen? This is coming to us. This is ksat.com as a website, but I don't know. But it was actually accredited to the Associated Press. Apparently, there's a party that's gaining some traction in Germany. It's the AfD. And the Alternative for Germany is what it's called, which is kind of bad branding if you're familiar with, like, Western media, and they're called the alt-right, which is supposed to be like the... But, I mean, they just, like, legitimately want an alternative for Germany, so I don't think this is particularly what they're saying it is. It's an opinion piece, obviously. So, when Sabine Tonke joined a recent demonstration in Berlin against Germany's far-right party. So you've got a Germany demonstrating against a party. Okay, so this is just bad. This is just... So wait, who's the fascists? Because we want to outlaw a party we don't like, you know? Like, it was the first time in years she felt hopeful that a growing power of extremists in her country could be stopped. Tonke, 59, had been following the rise of the AfD, the Alternative for Germany, with unease. But when she heard about the plan to deport millions of people, she felt called to action. So I called it. Like, when Jersey Girl was telling me about this, she's like, they're far right. And I'm like, they probably just don't like their immigration policy, which is not that different than what's going on here. Europe's...
And everywhere in the world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the West. Like, yeah, everywhere in the West, yeah. Really. You've got countries like China and Russia and other countries, lots of other countries that are like, no, we have borders. If you want to enter our country,
even Japan.
Yeah, there are lots of countries, but in the West, we've got this weird thing like, oh, well, we're so much better than the rest of you that of course you want to come here. So we'll just open our arms and welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, the whole thing's being staged by NGOs to bring down the West because we have this ideal about democratically chosen leaders and the people having a voice in how they're governed, and that's what the WEF wants to get rid of. So they're bringing these, like, they've got NGOs, Catholic Charities is one of them, a big one, but lots of NGOs, a lot of them are being funded by Soros money and stuff, shipping people across the globe who would be more ambivalent to dictatorships because they're kind of used to it, more ambivalent to communism and socialism because they're kind of used to it, going into these countries, and then these countries immediately going, oh, you poor thing, we must give you money. You don't have to work, or if you do want to work because you don't have papers to work, I guess you can work under the table and steal jobs from our people. Like, I mean, it's all a clusterfuck. I never thought such inhumane ideas, well, she says inhuman ideas would be gaining popularity in Germany again. I thought we had learned lessons from our past. You know, the people who wound up in concentration camps should have been so lucky that they just got deported. It was a ploy for Zionism, and we can go into that another time and really get our asses strung up. But
it's not relevant for this story.
It's not relevant for this story. Many Germans believe their country developed an immunity to nationalism. So here's the leap. It goes from, like, hey, we've got a lot of freaking people being shipped into our country against the will because they're being put here because of the fucking EU and just bad policy. And we want them to leave because we don't want to pay for them. Because guess who else is having inflation? Germany. Guess why Germany's having inflation? One big reason. Fucking Ukrainian war and the pipeline getting exploded. Yeah, so, like, we make this big leap. Like, oh, this is nationalism. Like, what? No. No, just wanting to have borders isn't really nationalism. It's just wanting good policy. The irony is that these fuckers were like, oh, come, poor little immigrants who can't find work in your country. Come to our country because they think they're fucking superior. That's why they're doing it. Because they're like, oh, we know our country's better than the shithole that you came from. So... It's like, so who's the fucking racist now? Like, who's the fucking nationalist? You think you got something better than where these people come from. Like, you think deporting them would be the worst thing ever for these people who got shipped to you by NGOs. Anyways, they were wrong. If an election were held today, the AFD would be the second largest party according to the polls. But they don't really give us stats and numbers. Like, we don't really know what that means. Like, they're one of those countries that's never going to have a majority party rule. They've got to have the coalitions. And that was why Angela Merkel stepped down, because she was just, like, tired of, like, not really being able to do any workable policy, because there was just never enough people who agreed on anything. The national polls camouflage an important division. The AFD has disproportionate support of the formerly communist and less prosperous eastern states of Germany. What do we know about communists and that? So we're saying that these former communists who support this right-leaning party, we're saying now that they're Nazis, that they're fascists. After the fall of communism in 1989, the unification of East and West Germany a year later, many people in the five eastern states lost not only their jobs, but their collective past, leaving them disoriented and helpless in the capitalist system. Okay, so now we're being ethnocentric again. Now we're saying, well, the Western way was just so much better, and these are the poor, dumb, rural people of Germany. Like, how in America right now, they're calling all the poor, dumb, rural people, like, oh, these poor, dumb, rural Trump supporters, they've been on the shit stick of capitalism, and now they want to be fascists. So it's like, no. They want to be capitalists. But they understand that when an influx of immigration, cheap labor, and higher taxes, it's harder for them already on the bottom. Anyway, so the AFD's rise has been propelled by anger over, guess what? Inflation and rising immigration.
This sounds an awful lot like how the Nazi thing started back in the day. Wasn't it the whole thing about inflation and the repercussions of World War One?
A lot of it was repercussions of World War One. I mean, there's lots of
recession and all that.
So many. Well, yeah, and they bore the brunt of the blame, and they had a lot of economic kind of sanctions and things, and their economy got really shit on. And then, you know, Hitler came and was like, oh, we're gonna build cars, and it was a fascistic form of government. It was industry being driven by the government. You know, if you follow the WEF, you know that the industry is now driving the governments of the world off a fucking cliff, driving us off a fucking cliff at Autobahn fucking speeds, but that's another story.
Is it gonna be right into a volcano?
Yes, right into a volcano!
Yep.
In a hydrogen car. I love it. We can loop everything together. This part I love. The EU has received 1.1 million asylum requests in 2023. Now, this is the biggest fucking lie, because just stay listening to this paragraph and remember that number, 1.1 million asylum requests in 2023. The highest number since 2015. Germany got by far the largest number of claims at more than 300,000, mostly from Syria, Afghanistan, and Turkey. The country has also taken in more than 1 million Ukrainian refugees displaced by Russia's invasion. The EU has received 1.1 million asylum requests. 300,000 of them from Syria, Afghanistan, and Turkey have been sent to Germany. But Germany's also taken in more than a fucking million Ukrainian refugees. So they're not even counting the Ukrainian refugees. So that means the EU is basically considering Ukraine fucking part of the EU, like under the table. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're not even processing them as asylum claims or anything like that, what the serious fuck? That 1.1 million does not touch any Ukrainian refugees if Germany's just taken in 1 million, and Ukrainian refugees aren't only going to Germany, they're going to Greece, they're going to Italy, they're going to France and to England, they're going fucking everywhere. Germany's taking on 1 million of them. But if you want to know why Germany might be experiencing a right-wing problem... Maybe 1 million fucking Nazis out of Ukraine could be part of the fucking problem. Like, you know the Ukrainians who are fleeing Ukraine? They're, you know who the Germans, or not the Germans, you know who the Russians are killing? Like, they're not killing just ethnic Ukrainians. They're killing motherfucking Nazi Ukrainians. Mm-hmm. So those are the ones fleeing. And guess where they're fleeing to? Germany! It's like the renazification. I mean, you cannot make this shit up.
Going back to their origin.
Going back to the Heimland. Die Mutterland.
This is how history repeats itself.
Wunderschön. Mm. So you know these fucking Ukrainians are probably infiltrating these AFD because, you know, they're going to want to get rid of the million Ukrainians are going to want to get rid of the 300,000 brown people because they're already fucking Nazis. So these people are protesting, right? Like, they're protesting the fucking invasion of their country. But it's saying, like, oh, they want restriction on immigration, in some cases constrain democratic freedoms of religion and expression and the right to protest. I'm like, how is this a thing? So it's the person who wrote this, her name is Gieshaben, which means basically grumpy pants. And she's one who has grumpiness. Kirsten Grumpiness. Grumpy Haver. Grumpy Face.
Grumpy Pants.
I strongly doubt she was alive during the reunification, or at least knew anything that was going on with the East Germans and reunification. Obviously, these fucking policies are more frustrating and concerning to people who've lived under communism. And this is very much like how it looks to Venezuelans and Cubans, naturalized Cubans here in the States, and why they are supporting the quote-unquote far-right nationalized parties mm-hmm. here in the States, because they don't want the fucking communism.
Yeah, they lived through it.
They lived through it, and they can see the warning signs, and like, this is not good. It's eroding our nation. So anyways, hey Ukrainians, don't get too comfortable in Germany, yo. Just don't do it. Germany, be fucking honest. EU, Ukrainians, they might be part of Europe. They're not part of the EU. They're not part of NATO. Remember that when you fucking go to World War III. This is obviously so much propaganda in this. Mm. That's why I have to annihilate the news. Ah! Oh, and that takes us to Blender Games 2024, A Ballad of Asses and Elephants. Biden tells black voters he's going to do opportunity zones without calling them opportunity zones, and promises to remove highways because that'll be equity. So Biden has lost a lot of traction among black voters, particularly black male voters, who are really rallying hard for Trump, especially since Trump has been in prison. But one of the reasons that Trump was popular with black voters in 2020, and he pulled some of the highest mm-hmm. numbers of any Republican candidate in modern times in 2020, was because one of his policies was opportunity zones, and he gave special incentives and stuff into neighborhoods, particularly struggling black neighborhoods, and set up opportunities for entrepreneurs, people to open new businesses. And the black communities where these opportunity zones were really flourishing. Their economies were growing. They were having, you know, more money to spend on policing. They were having safer cities, better schools. You know, much more money coming into black families, especially black business owners. And there were more black business owners than there had been since Lyndon B. Johnson took a torch to black families. So it was a good policy, and he called them opportunity zones. And now Biden is doing the same thing, only he's calling it place-based economics, because that sounds so much better. We're rebuilding communities too often left behind. We're building the roads. We're repairing the cracks in the sidewalk. And Hunter heard there was crack in the sidewalk. So he's really keen to help out with the crack in the sidewalk. In fact, he offered to get rid of the crack in the sidewalk himself. He's really motivated. I'm really proud of that guy.
And remember, Jack, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
You ain't black. You ain't black, man. Biden's embrace of strategies aimed at spurring development in specific locations marks a significant shift in U.S. policy back to the Trump era 3 fucking years ago. Like, I mean, look, you know, I don't build an altar to Trump and pray at it every night. Like, I am not, like, Trump trained. but also the fact that he literally is lifting Trump policy right out of Trump playbook. And like, black people aren't that dumb, y'all. I know, poor kids are just as smart as white kids. I mean, he's so racist, he really thinks he can do the same thing Trump did, and they're not going to be like, see now, you're just doing the thing that the other guy did. But we know that other guy would do it if he were in office, because he was already doing it.
Because guess what? It's all the same playbook in the end, guys!
But part of the whole, the administration's, quote, place-based approach, that's what they're, the place-based, like a plant-based. Like you have it's to be a vegetable policy. To not realize it's a vegan policy.
Oh, is that why it's a bunch of bullshit?
Oh, but they got on a weird tangent too about highways. And they're saying, oh, the highways are keeping people from places with opportunities. And you're like, well, highways are usually like the mode at which food and resources are brought into communities so that mm-hmm. their stores can be stocked and stuff. But no, they're going to dismantle some highways for equity. Because, you know, the highway cuts part of the community off from the other community. Mm. Usually, like, it's like, you know, you got to go under an underpass. But also...
But you can go under the underpass.
You can go under the... And you can develop the other side of the underpass. You don't need to get rid of the highway to develop the other side of the underpass.
Like, public transit is very capable of going on and under and over these... They do it all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this was...
They just got to go around the whole town before getting to the other side. Coming from someone that uses public transportation every day.
I'm a little concerned about these highways he wants to dismantle. Now, of course, he's talking in generalities and, you know, he's talking out his lethargic ass. So it's not like...
Is Biden... he the one really talking, though?
Right. Exactly.
It's the talking pills, man. Come on.
I don't know what that medicine was still giving me in my coffee this morning. But boy, I've gone to the bathroom 5 times, and my eyes haven't fallen asleep once, man. never mind. Oh, what were we talking about? Roads, man, roads.
So, yeah, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Get back into the DeLorean.
Oh.
If only.
If only we could go back. So yeah, that's what's new on the election trail, y'all. Same policy, different asshole. But it was policy that worked. So I'm glad that he's going to maybe bring, hopefully, I don't know about the roads, but the opportunity zones, I think, are a good thing.
What if we make it to see it? I mean, we have no fucking idea what's going to, we don't even know if there's going to be an election. Yeah,
as far as we know, the world might end next week.
All right, that brings us to a brand new segment that I love the idea of. Link gave us this name, and I was like, yes, we need to do this. There's been a litany of stories, and we haven't even covered, like, half of them, of, like, the news telling us something that is old is new again. Like, oh, we just discovered that too much salt makes your mouth dry out.
like something that everyone knows.
That's the sun they just is actually a good reason. Source of vitamin D.
Yeah, right.
The sun is actually can warm temperatures on the planet.
Like, I mean, there's so much fucking crazy like this. So that brings us to our new segment. I'm really excited about the name. And Link, I want you to say the name of this new segment.
Tuckerish Farm Remembers.
So we got an article from the Telegraph, and I believe that, yes, it was our lovely Jersey girl who found this. So why don't you tell us about it?
I do believe it had something to do with, multiculturalism?
Yes.
Yes, it turns out that, according to the Telegraph, they discovered, the story is by Ben Habib.
Writing about multiculturalism and GB. That is hysterical.
Yes, and it's damaging our society, and there's only one way to stop it, says the headline. So, in short, Labour and Tory parties have spoken out against racism while passing regulations that only embedded it, blah, blah, blah. And it goes on to say, it actually brings up Mr. Blair. Mr. Tony Blair.
Okay.
I guess when he was in office, he really didn't seem to care for the state of the nation, and he preferred to govern from unelected and unaccountable sources of bureaucracy.
That never happens here.
So, at the time, it suited his brand of politics, and essentially the EU nations lost their values and identity, blah, blah, blah. And so now we're dealing with mass migration, and they thought it would work economically. But
yeah, now, the UK had a big problem. The NHS did not have enough staff for their to be able to treat aging Britons. They weren't having enough bibis. That's a problem in the West. Across the West, we're not having enough bibis. And the NHS had a growing population of elderly who needed increased medical care. And so in the UK, one of the things they did was like, oh, we'll just import a bunch of people and they'll work in our hospitals and they will fund the NHS and we'll give them these shit low-paying government healthcare jobs. And they will love it. And they will come here and not speak a lick of English, but they will wipe asses and give out vaccines and do blood work, and it'll be lovely.
They will own nothing and be happy.
Exactly.
Give away medazzling.
But yeah, that was a big reason.
Yes. So that very cheap imported labor kept the lid on wages, removed the need for businesses to upskill and automate. So now they're basically facing economic inactivity, and they're buckling under a housing shortage.
So now, okay, I've got to push back a little bit on what that article just said. Cheap imported labor has kept a lid on wages and removed the need for businesses to upskill and automate. Mm-hmm. Our economy is now being run on the lines of developing productivity has been poor for years. British citizens are becoming economically inactive. So they're saying if we didn't have an influx of cheap labor, we would have just given these jobs to machines instead. And that would have been better for British people. How?
Because like, fuck you, that's why.
Like, I love how they just slide that messaging and they're like, oh, but we should have upskilled and automated. And then that would be better because instead of cheap labor having the jobs, no labor would have the jobs.
Clearly, look how it went for that chatbot. Remember, that was out of England.
Fussy little chatbot.
Yeah. A little wanker. But yes, so now they realize they have a bigger problem and it has led to multiculturalism. This didn't create a melting pot, but rather led to the celebration of discrete new cultures running parallel to and isolated from the British one. Gee, no shit. Because they didn't assimilate into the culture they were being brought into. They were just plucked in and...
Well, they were pumped. Part of it is because of the economic disparity. They were pumped into specific neighborhoods, literally driving out. So white people with money move in to these communities that were historically black, and they buy these homes, and they buy them at a low cost, and then they upgrade them, and they gentrify the neighborhoods, and then the neighborhoods go into, you know, higher economic zones, and then it forces more of the lower income people out because they can't no longer afford the property taxes, and then, you know, homeowners associations develop, and they're like, oh, well, you've got crack on your sidewalk. I mean, you've got cracks on your sidewalk.
You have a crack in your ass. Here, let me fix it.
Exactly. And they're
They drive away the people that do crack, the low-income people that do crack. Then the rich people move in and start doing
crack.
They
start doing crack.
Yeah, but that's a high-quality
high-end
crack.
So it also works in reverse, that you can have, like, it's not just rich people moving into low-income neighborhoods and upscaling them. So then the people who manage to hold on to their homes longer, at least when they sell them, they can sell them for a much higher rate and still move into a nice neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They don't have to downgrade if they come to discover that the property taxes are not great and whatever. There's options. But what's happened in the UK, but it happens here too, is that you get this influx of of migrants, people who do not, if they find cheap properties and they go in and buy them together and they pool all their monies, and big families will buy buildings and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And then it drives down the value of the neighborhood as more of these low income, they'll live right on top of each other. They're used to a lower standard of living mm-hmm. than Americans are, or in this case, Brits are. Now, big problem they had over there was with a lot of the more, traditional Muslim men regarded the British girls and women as like sluts and temptresses because they didn't have hijabs on, they didn't mm-hmm. have burqas on. And they had like rape gangs, like going after young girls. They had groomer gangs, and they'd like go after young girls. They'd use opium, like the same way we've got groomers here in the States, drug dealers and stuff like that. But it was very much cultural. So you had poorer white working class families and communities, low-end communities. You had influx of migrants without a lot of money. They overtook these communities. They literally would like rape these women and girls. The families who couldn't afford to get out of there are just like fucked. They have literal no-go zones in some of these European countries because mm-hmm. they have been taken over by people who just do not respect their laws at all. And they're like, oh, well, we can't stop the men from raping your women because, you know, culture.
Bull and shit. Mm-hmm.
But it's a real problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you talk about it,
doesn't matter their culture. Mm-hmm. What matters is the culture of the country they've been transplanted to.
Exactly.
But instead of like coming in a little bit here and little bit there, they wind up in one neighborhood and one concentration.
Just real quick, on that note with the culture thing, mm-hmm. if your culture supports and promotes rape, fuck you. That's exactly. not culture. Yes. Continue. Sorry.
So what's happening, part of what's causing this is like they're essentially ending up with like ghettos the way like early New York City had ghettos mm-hmm. and just, you know, oh, well, all of these Syrian people are moving to this one part of London. So, oh, I know somebody who's Syrian and they live over there. Oh, and we can afford this, or we can move in with this other Syrian family or this other Syrian guy. So these parts of town that were lower income are now inundated with these different ethnic groups. And there's no incentive for them to assimilate because they can live amongst their own people, speak their own language, worship at their own kind of worship centers and everything. Mm-hmm. And there's literally, whereas if there weren't these huge influxes where people were like brought in, then some of them would have to live in communities with other Brits and learn how to be British. Mm-hmm. And then if they didn't like being British, they could get on a boat and go back to Syria or Turkey or wherever.
Yeah, that's one thing I never understood about some immigrants. Why would you move to a completely different country if you want to stay in your own culture? I moved to America because I loved America. I loved American culture. I wanted to be part of it. Mm-hmm. So I just can't understand why someone that wants to be part of a different culture moves to another country and wants to be their own culture still. It doesn't register to me.
Right.
And because you're racist.
And,
when
and white privilege, yeah.
I lived in Asia, like, I wasn't looking to become a citizen over there or anything, but I did love, like, learning all the cultural norms, learning the language, eating the food, mm-hmm. You know, and it was not, like, people didn't shake hands when they met. You bowed. So I bowed because mm-hmm. I was in a country that bowed,
yeah,
you know?
And adopting like, to their culture.
And in the States, when you first meet somebody, you, like, ask them their name. But where I was, like, the first thing you do is you ask them their age, which, mm-hmm. you know, as an American woman, it was like, well, you want to know what? But I got used to it because I understood the cultural norm. Mm-hmm. And I never was like, oh, I don't do that. You know, like, I mean, I could have, but I didn't because I wanted to be part of that culture while I was there.
Exactly.
But the reason is because a lot of these people aren't just coming in their own volition. Like, oh, I want to go to the UK. I'm like, oh, this NGO is going to take us to Europe. We're going to tell them we don't have papers. We're going to tell them we need asylum. And they're going to take care of us. And we're going to have more economic opportunities over there. And I don't even know if all of them are going to stay or not. They might as well, because they haven't had to change anything about their living style, mm-hmm. you know.
I haven't had the same world experience you two had. I haven't traveled the world like you two have. But I can speak as an American. Yes, this country particularly is a melting pot. Mm-hmm. And that is what makes us so fucking awesome. Because we get to learn about all these cultures and experience these cultures. But here's the caveat. We're also mindful that we are different cultures and we're supposed to respect each other's cultures.
We used to.
It's one of those, you teach me, I teach you. oh, cool, we learned something new, then we go back and do our thing.
But we used, you know, we used to be able to joke about each other's cultures.
Yes!
Mm-hmm. Like, that and that, but that was just, it was all in good fun. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I grew up in a church that got made fun of on South Park. And honestly, but when I was a kid growing up, like, nobody talked about it. Like, nobody talked about it. Like, it was just so far outside the mainstream. People would just be like, you're what? You know, but then when, like, South Park's making fun of it, and you're like, yes! We made it. Mainstream. We got made fun of on South Park. Like, I mean, it was an accomplishment. People were like, aren't you offended? And I was like, no, I think it's totally cool that they, you know, made fun of my church. And I didn't think it was totally cool, so.
The funny thing is, they don't even hate on it either.
No, they don't.
They don't!
I was like, honestly, that was really sweet. Like, that whole episode was so sweet. And people were like, aren't you offended? And I'm like, no. I was like, are you kidding? The way South Park makes fun of Scientologists? Like, no. So it's good to know we're not alone, that UK is going through it too, but I wish none of us were fucking going through it. And NGOs, stop the shit. WEF, fuck off. You're not gonna win this. You're not. Like, you're just, yeah, we're sitting here talking about you. We know you're not gonna win. So that brings us to, that'll end well. Canada goes Full Metal Israel for DEI. Ugh. I love how they're just really connecting tonight. Like, yeah, everything's just like,
everything's connected.
So Maria Z was doing a segment on InfoWars. She had an interview. And Canada has given 20% of its total landmass. Now, Canada, I'm pretty sure, is the second largest country by area in the world. Mm-hmm. I believe it goes Russia, Canada, and then us. We're number three.
Yes.
So they gave 20% of all their land to the Inuit people. Do anyone want to guess how many Inuit people there are in Canada?
Less than 1%?
Oh yeah. 28,000. Like, less than half my annual income, and I don't make that much. No, it's more than half my annual. It's roughly half my annual income, and I don't make that much. 28,000 in total to administer 20% of Canada's land. But because there are so few people to administer for so much land, they have appointed an NGO to be their, you know, like their HR company, right? Like their administration. Like, it's like them saying, like, you can be on the condo association board of directors, but we're actually going to hire a property management company, and they're going to make all the decisions, and they're going to do all the stuff. But, you know, you'll be the board members. So you'll get to, like, raise your hand and go, like, yes, I approve this thing that you're going to do. That's essentially what it is. So basically, Canada did not give 20% of its land to the Inuit people. Canada gave 20% of its land to the UN. Like, that's what really happened. Because, like, it's all based on this UN charter. They haven't defined even what indigenous means, what indigenous people are. They didn't define the terms. But, you know, I used to think, like, oh, decolonize. I thought it was just, like, some weird hippy-dippy thing that they were shouting in Washington and Oregon, and I didn't think it had any significance. Oh, it's got significance. I don't know. This one slipped under my radar. Like, you know, I'm listening to David. I'm listening to Alex. I'm listening to Noah, Val, Arari, shit. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I know what the WEF is up to. Oh, I know what the UN is. I know what WHO is up to. I did not see this one coming. Did you guys see that? Did you know this one was coming? This land grab by giving it back to indigenous people.
But they already did it here in the States, I think in Oklahoma, a few years back.
And Australia, they were having, I think last year or the year before, they were having a referendum to give indigenous people rights, but that was a disguise to actually pull the indigenous people under their constitution so they could control them.
Right.
Luckily, it didn't pass.
Yeah. Australia's all kinds of fucked up. I'm pretty sure Maria Z's out of Australia. That's where I think she's.
Sound like it. Or New Zealand.
I think it's Australia.
Yeah, Max Egan's from Australia.
Speaking of decolonizing, I do wish the United States would decolonize from China, because that needs to sever. I bring that up because I was looking up the land mass. It's Russia, Canada, China, U.S. So you were right about Canada being the second.
So yeah, Alberta has already changed their land use rights now to prohibit disturbing land, because land belongs to the indigenous people. So you can't dig down 6 feet under the surface, like, so you can't farm, you can't bury anybody. Like, you can't move your dead husband downstairs.
I mean, you could always take a gamble and build a casino. Indigenous people tend to like those.
Well, I mean, it's up to them. It's up to them. But here's, so I didn't know this. You were talking about the Indigenous people's rights, right?
Yeah.
The UN already did an Indigenous people's declaration, and apparently in Article 46 of that, it says that Indigenous people are under the control of the UN. So if you're an Indigenous person, you're, because you don't belong to a sovereign nation state of your own, you belong to the UN. Come along. You belong. Feel the bullshit.
The UN thinks everything belongs to them.
Yeah, so the UN is like basically said, we're the parent company of Indigenous people, and now that we're reclaiming the land for Indigenous people. Okay, but here's my question. We're all Indigenous to somewhere. Like, mm-hmm. We didn't just, you know, fall out of the sky.
You mean you weren't born in a cabbage patch like me?
No, I didn't hatch out of an egg either. Test tube. Well, I might have
get brought by a stork.
I might have been a breeding experiment. It's cool. I'm all right with that. So the UN's got the 30 by 30, and they want 30% of the land to be deemed protected areas, and they're going to do this by land grabbing from Indigenous people, whereas some of the Indigenous groups are calling 50 to 80% for land preservation. They're giving rights, the UN is giving rights, the same rights of humans to animals and even rocks. Rocks have rights, y'all. Rocks have rights. All for one and mineral for, one for all and mineral for one. You know, and everybody wants to get stoned. But, you know, if we had stones, we wouldn't be letting the UN do this bullshit. This is essentially, though, what I said, Canada goes full metal Israel. The whole problem we're having in Israel is that we decided that the people who are claiming to be Israelis, which is not the same thing as Israelites, mind you, mm-hmm. Have gone to the land that was Palestine before that, Canaan, right? Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, this is our ancestral land and we want it back. And the UN and the UK and you know, just some random people are like, yeah, you guys had a tough time in concentration camps. You see all those people who are living there? Just go and take their land. It's cool.
Yeah, because that'll end well. Mm.
And this is how that happened. And so now Canada's like, we love that model. There's nothing bad happening in Israel right now. Mm. It's not like people are being genocided in that land right now.
This land is our land. This land is my land.
Oh, in any event, regardless of where you think those people came from, Ukraine.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Caesars. But yeah, I can't be mad because like literally these people have been raised to believe that they are of the bloodline that belongs there.
Israelis are the most programmed people in the whole world.
But just because you believe that you're of the bloodline of people who descended from, I can prove my British heritage. I have papers, you know, but I'm not going to go to England and, you know, walk up to just some random Englishman on the street.
And kill them and take them to the house.
Like, hey, I have blood rights to this land. Get the fuck off. You know, like, I'm Indigenous British biatch. You know, like,
what if you found out you were the true successor to the throne of England?
I'd sit on that motherfucker. I'd go right up to Buckingham Palace and be like, hey, you know your German ass don't belong on this British throne, bitch.
Except they're all interbred anyway. So,
they're German. Yeah, the Windsors are German.
The Windsors are German.
That's Britain, Germany, Russia, they're all interbred. They're all
But the Germans kind of pulled a soft coup and took over the British royal line. They're not a British royal line. They're a German line that pretends to be British.
Yeah, wait.
They changed their name.
So ultimately, are we saying that Germany, in the end, did invade England after all?
They invaded England before England knew it was being invaded. Mm. That's just, yeah. Anyway. UN, just grabbing some land, trying to build some 15-minute cities, using Indigenous people as a smoke shield to
fuck
over the rest of us.
Those people won't really need the land after the maids cleaned up
the house. That's right. Like they're just gonna teach all the Indigenous people to be maids, and they're just gonna like maid service. Oh wow, I like this Indigenous people who come here give us maid service.
Now, here's a really morbid thought.
More morbid than
the maid.
What if the maid service is actually going to be used on them?
On the indigenous people?
Well, yeah, it could be.
I mean, why not? Well, you need a few to, like, keep the charade up until, you know, you've commandeered all the land. But yeah, I recommend to anybody, go listen to that interview that Marisi had on InfoWars. It's really telling. And by the sound of it, they are just pulling what we did with Israel, only in Canada. And it's just a matter of time before they start doing it in all these other countries, including ours. So that takes us to our last question of the evening, PSYOP, or Serious Problem. We have a very interesting article from Business Insider. Well, okay, before the article from Business Insider, we had Boeing executive testify, whistleblowers. We have copious Boeing whistleblowers. And one of them wound up non-alive.
Not Epstein, I'm sure.
He was saying that at the plant, at the Charleston plant, there were problems with the 787. But it's funny because this article still talks about the 737, even though he was a whistleblower for the 787. It's interesting. Everything's connected, right? So exactly. Then the other guy testified to Congress, 737 sucks, yada, yada, yada. And so then the FAA, in light of the problems we've had with the 737 MAX, did a study. And there's this headline in the Business Insider, guys. The FAA found staff at Boeing supplier using liquid Dawn soap as lubricant for the 737 MAX door seal. So that's a headline. So we're to assume that that's a bad thing. Whatever, Dawn soap doesn't say on it for its uses. It's many, many uses. Maybe used as a lubricant for airline door seals. But I was trying to find out, okay, so like what's wrong with using Dawn soap as a lubricant? Because I grew up in a family of mechanics and they use weird shit for other shit all the time. Oh, and like on a farm and like, you know, I grew up in a MacGyver family. It was like, oh, your car's not running. Get me some duct tape and a paper clip.
And I'll make it work.
Yeah. And a flathead screwdriver, and we're gonna rig this. You're gonna get, you know, at least.
I picked the lock of a window once with the edge of a fine tooth comb, like, you know, the one that has the long little handle.
I have opened more doors with credit cards, and I don't mean by spending money on them. but yeah, I mean, like, that's just the kind of family I come from. So I don't necessarily know that using Dawn soap as a lubricant for fitting a door seal is such a bad thing. And they're like, oh, and cleaning up using a wet cheesecloth. Okay. You know, you got to clean up using something. A cheesecloth is, you know, like, oh, why is that problematic? You know, what would you clean up with?
Here's an even weirder thing. When they tried to get to the bottom of, well, what are you supposed to use? It says a note for the liquid soap incident said the door seal fitting instructions were vague and unclear on what specifications or actions are to be followed or recorded by the mechanic.
Vague, just like these articles?
Yeah, pretty much. So nobody knows.
So even the people at the plant didn't really know what they should use for fitting the door seal. Now, so it would be a problem if Dawn soap was known to be corrosive. Dawn soap is not known to be corrosive. It's known to be kind of gentle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they use it to clean oil spills from wildlife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, water off a duck's back or Dawn soap off a duck's back. We've all seen the commercials. Mm-hmm.
Now, in an effort to try to find out if anybody did know what should be used, I did come across in a search about aviation grease. Now, I know Dawn, they promote how great they are at removing grease and killing grease. So that's the only thing I could see that would be a thing. But they don't even say what you're supposed to use. So you can't even really use that as an argument because they're just not saying anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, I mean, like we were talking about earlier with, like, everything's in plastics now. So Dawn soap is you know, bottled and shipped and stored in plastics. I reuse Dawn soap bottles, actually. I'll buy a big one and pour it off into a smaller one.
I've done that too.
And I've never had a plastic bottle degrade. from pouring Dawn soap into it. Mm-hmm. So if it was that, you know, dangerous to petroleum-based products that it somehow, then I wouldn't be able to reuse a fucking Dawn soap bottle for years. Mm-hmm. I do. I'll use a little one up on top of my thing, and I buy big one after big one. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't go through that much Dawn soap. Like, you know, I wash my dishes, but... So... I'm trying to figure out, like, we're making this big deal. We're like, oh my gosh, they're using Dawn soap. That's why the door blew out of that flight.
It wasn't supposed to be glue.
Like, they said it was a lubricant, not like a sealing agent. I mean, obviously, if you were using space in place of something that was like a glue or something, that would be problematic. So I don't know. Like, they never say, like, that this would be antithetical to, you know, I don't know what the viscosity or the...
At least the door was squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Unlike the story.
Right. So, I mean, like, so is Boeing trying to clean up their act? Or are we just supposed to be scared of air travel right now? Because we know that there is an agenda to try to freak us out. Yep. And so we've had two Boeing whistleblowers. We've got, and Boeing is by far the most used commercial air jet. The 737 MAX I've flown on, I don't know, if not 100 in my lifetime, it feels like it. Like, I mean, and it's not like I'm traveling every other day, but, you know, like I'm old. I've taken several major trips. And, you know, you fly on one on the way to your place and you fly on one on the way back. So if I've taken, you know, at least 50 flights in my life, which isn't that hard to imagine because, you know, I've had different jobs and stuff where I've had to travel. It's very possible I've flown on 100 737s. Super popular plane here in the States. I could read the safety card to you. Okay. The 737s they're bigger than a commuter jet, but they're super popular predominantly for domestic air travel here in the States. They're good for pretty long range. So you can take a 737 from like New York to LA or New York to Texas and change and grab your flight to Wyoming or whatever. They're high endurance aircraft. So if they spook us and tell us 737s are bad news, and like the one whistleblower is like, yeah, 737s suck, we've had a couple accidents with 737s, oh my gosh, they used Dawn dish soap on a 737, then anyone who goes to the airport is like, oh shit, this flight's a 737, they're all fucking 737s. You know.
Maybe I shouldn't travel.
Yeah.
I should stay home and easy bucks.
But I don't know. Like, so who here thinks it was actually Boeing who did it and the guy who killed himself? Or do we think it's, you know, somebody else?
I mean, it's kind of obvious.
Maybe not. Maybe he had business ties with the Clintons.
Or Pelosi, you know, whose stock portfolio crashed because she had stock in Boeing.
Again, who owns Boeing?
BlackRock.
So...
But BlackRock wants us to stop taking flights. So, I mean, even that could be a psyop. Like, even the idea that, like, oh, we're trying to cover up the fact that the guy was a whistleblower, so we're going to kill him because...
And make it out in public.
To make it seem like, oh, the problem must be really bad if they're willing to kill their own guy. Like, I mean... I have to ask myself, is there really a serious problem, or is the problem being manufactured to try to like draw down the airline?
The people that are really running the world, they have psyops inside psyops.
Besides, if it was really that unsafe to fly, would they really be like trafficking all these poor immigrants across the country on these flights? Which I heard a statistic today. I heard the statistic. I didn't follow up to see the numbers on it, but they're saying up to 70% of all commercial flights, right, like 70% bookings are moving illegal immigrants.
And that's just domestically, right?
That's not even including
the ones they're shipping to Germany.
Well, it's not even including the ones that they're shipping. Well, I mean, like, it might be including the ones that they're shipping up from Guatemala and South America and Central America. Which has hit the news.
And China, we can't forget China.
We do have documentation, too, now that particularly the Biden administration is flying people from the countries there. They don't even have to stagger across the southern border. They're just flying them in from those countries south of our border. And so that they're completing their trips and bringing them in. And it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I said to you too, I don't know if I said it on air, I think the southern border is just a distraction. I think the illegal migrants there coming through planes.
Well, you did say that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think two things are true. I think they've been bringing them in through planes, but, like, they're definitely bringing them across the border.
I think that's more for a distraction from the flights than actually bringing them in through the border.
Right. Because if we're watching them come across on the land, we're going to be not paying attention to the fact that ever since January of 2021, the admin has been... Yeah, if you follow MonkeyWorks, and I know I've brought up his channel before, he's been tracking these flights, these commercial passenger flights across our southern border from south of the border. And he's been calling it out since the change of the administration, and nobody's paying any fucking attention.
Because everyone's focused at the border.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's fair. That's true. But it's okay, because, you know, soon we'll just be able to give all of our land away to indigenous people.
And call them mates.
And I'll have to go back to my mother country and take over the throne. Eat your heart out, Kate Middleton, if you're still alive. Wait, Charles won't be for very long.
No.
I'm not marrying William. That's gross. He's probably my cousin.
But, wait, if that's the case, and I have Native American roots in me, does that mean I get to play the indigenous card?
Yeah, just go down to your management company and just be like, bitch, this apartment building's mine now. I'm indigenous. You get the fuck out. I'm going to take over your bank accounts because this building is mine, bitches.
Oh, shit. If we all got to go back to where we genetically come from, does that mean I got to go to Germany and fight the Ukrainians?
Are you a Nazi baby?
Or maybe I got to go to Italy and join the mafia.
He's a Nazi party baby.
The party for the Nazis.
Oh my god.
You put one hand up the plane, my son. And you march is this way. Mustache here like ya. Burning the books like ya.
Oh my god.
You're marching along. Everybody go away.
We need to do that, Sparrow.
You know, we are, what is it now, the 19th? We're about, what, 2 days away from spring? Really is springtime for Hitler.
Springtime for Hitler and Germany. Ukrainians bringing the Nazi party back. And then Putin gets elected in a landslide. Or, you know, maybe not. Maybe they tampered with their own election. I don't know. You know what I know they didn't tamper with? The fucking Nord Stream pipeline. That's what I know they didn't tamper with. So our good friends, thank you for tuning in. We love you. We see those numbers growing on our episodes, and we don't know why, but we're really glad you're paying attention. We would love some interaction. We would love for you to weigh in and tell us what you think about any of this stuff. I want to know if you think that the Boeing thing is a psyop or a serious problem. I want to know what people think, because I'm kind of curious. I'm not sure that this is a real deal.
Yes, of course. Please comment, you know, follow us, subscribe, whatever.
Submit. You better submit.
Just don't submit to the World Economic Forum.
No. Signing up for tonight, MEG.
Link.
Jersey girl.
And that's a wrap.